Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Baskin and Phelps, welcome to the noon hour. We start this hour off with a super friend of the show. You know him, you love him, as a former Indians pitcher, and he is also the pride of Geneva. And I do believe this Sunday you will be able to watch him on Peacock as the Dodgers take on the Tampa Bay Rays. His name is Brian Anderson. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Am I correct, Pierre? Are you doing the game Sunday on Peacock?
You know what? Yes. And I was sent a call sheet at the beginning of the week, and it kind of lists out the producer, the director, because I'm not really sure. I wasn't really sure who I was going to be working with. Mm-hmm. And if I read the call sheet correctly, it is going to be a Cleveland Indians reunion. Hmm. Because I will be doing the game alongside Oral Hershiser, I believe.
Very nice.
Fabulous.
I know. And, you know, it's interesting because when they first reached out and asked me if I would be willing to do the game, you know, you always wonder, like, okay, why me? Maybe because we're the home team, you know, not really sure. And you know that Oral does a great job on the Dodger broadcast. And so all of a sudden that call sheet shows up and, it has play-by-play, analyst, Hershiser, Anderson. I'm like, oh, we're going to do a little three-man booth. This is going to be good. Because I had a good relationship with Oral with the little time that I spent with him, you know, up in Cleveland. So yeah. It'll be a lot of fun.
97, right?
Yes.
BG against Wright State. Throwdown. Like it.
That's right. We always got the best of BG. Now, it may have been a different story if Oral was on the mound, but I'd probably be on the mound on the other side. So that may be a game that never ended.
Exactly.
What do you remember playing about? What do you remember him as a teammate?
A wonderful teammate. You know, it's interesting because 97, pitching through the playoffs, I had a little impingement in my shoulder that bothered me. But, you know, and it quite frankly, it was more than bother me, but it's playoffs. So you get it loose and you pitch through it. You realize, hey, there is no tomorrow. You can start resting tomorrow or the next day. We win this series. You can rest next week, you know, whatever it is. So I was pitching with that little bit of an issue and he knew it. And one of the days, it was might have been a day off, and he took me into the weight room and he said, you know, when this season's over, you go back home. This is what I want you to work on. And he gave me a whole list of exercises to do for that specific part of my shoulder and then to build up other parts of my shoulder, different than just your regular Jobs, you know, your Job exercises that every pitcher ran through. He gave me some super specific, examples and exercises to do. Why do you have to do that for me? I mean, who was I to Oral Hershiser at that point? You know, I'm up and down between Buffalo and Cleveland. And, of course, you know, I'm pitching in the playoffs and I'm pitching well. But at the end of the day, he didn't have to do that. And yet he thought enough of me. That was the kind of teammate he was, that he took me up there and spent a considerable amount of time showing me different exercises that were going to help me out moving forward. And they did. I never had a sore shoulder again. You know, of course, 98, I went to Arizona and it was a different program, but never had an issue with the shoulder again. And that was a lot of thanks to him.
Interesting.
You know, Brian, one thing that's always, it's always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And you tell me your perspective on it. Those teams in the 90s, we heard so often, man, they had great hitting and they didn't have pitching. And I always thought, well, you had Oral and you had Dennis and you had Dennis Martinez and you had Charlie Nagy and you had BA, you had Ken Hill for a short period of time, you had Jarrett Wright. I thought there was some decent pitching. And it might not have been lights out pitching like the Braves, but I always thought those teams had pretty decent pitching.
Yeah, you know what, they did, or we never would have gotten to to those spots. You know, we never would have made it as far as we did. the thing is, I think what everybody thinks about is, you know, you had Oral towards the end of his career, not the Oral 56 straight innings of, you know, not giving up a run. You know, Dennis Martinez more towards the end of his career. You know, it wasn't wipeout pitching. You know, it wasn't a guy that was going to go out and go seven innings and punch out 12. You know, and so I think that's why people look at it. Regardless, the pitching was good. It was very good. And but I think that that's why it's viewed in that way, because it wasn't – some of these guys, it wasn't the prime of their career. Still very effective. They were still very good, but it wasn't the heart of the career.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. Let me ask you a little bit about the Guardians and what's going on with them, man. They are struggling to score runs big time. And do you want to get out of your car, or you want to? Which way do you think?
Yes, I am out of the car. Okay. You can hear that rumble?
Oh, well, I mean, it sounds like a very expensive car, I can tell you.
Oh, it's not a very expensive car, but it's a nice exhaust.
All right, I just want to talk to you about the Guardians for a second. They're struggling to score runs. When things aren't going right and you're losing all these games by one run and guys are struggling to hit, I mean, we talk about baseball being contagious, but when you've got all these guys that are struggling at the plate, is it possible that as they all struggle, they could all come through this together and start hitting the ball together? I'm looking for a silver lining here to make me feel good about this before we start talking about trades and making major overhauls on this team to try to keep them competitive this season.
You know what? The one thing that I've learned about the game of Major League Baseball, don't ever talk about it in absolutes. So, I say that because could they all possibly come out of it and start hitting? You never know. You've seen, if you're around this game long enough, you will see things that you never thought were going to happen. You would see things that you'll never see again. So it's possible, probable, probably not, but it is possible. And, you know, at this point, you know, I mean, it's tough because it becomes a mental thing. It becomes a mental thing in the collective. And that is the toughest thing about this game is you don't get a mental break. I mean, there's no time. You don't get a couple of days to kind of regroup, work on some things and get back at it. There's a game tomorrow and then there's a game after that. And it just keeps piling on. So it's really tough to come out of it if mentally you're not in a good spot. And if you have gone that long of a period of time and really struggled to score runs, that's kind of who you are. You know, that becomes your identity, and it's tough to break out of that. Possible, but it's going to take a collective. You know, these guys are going to have to really dig deep in the mind, put the work in, and just do the little things. I think this is where, when you're struggling like that, you have to strip it down to bare bones. You got to strip it all the way back down and think about, okay, one at bat at a time, one pitch at a time. Study this particular pitcher. How does he pitch against me if I faced him before? Have a plan and go to the plate and take it one pitch at a time. It's a lot easier said than done, but that's the only way that you're going to be able to work your way out of it.
Brian Anderson joining us, former Indians pitcher. BA, what do in-season trades do in a clubhouse?
Well, I think a lot, it's, you know, it depends. I mean, if you're getting down towards the trade deadline and you have a competitive team and you're looking to, hey, we're going to, you know, make a playoff run here, and all of a sudden you bring in a couple of guys to bolster that team, it buoys the spirits, no question. It's an exciting time. If you're trading guys because of poor performance or you're just not, you know, then it can be helpful, but it depends on who you trade. You know, you can trade a guy that can deflate a clubhouse because he's a clubhouse favorite. He's a, you know, he's a stalwart. He's a guy that you lean on. He's a good leader, all those things. Now, you probably wouldn't trade that guy in the first place, but if you did, you know, then it can have the opposite effect. So it just depends on how the trade is perceived in the clubhouse. If it's a trade that is looking to get the team better and change things up so we can go perform like we know we're capable of, that will raise the spirits of that group down in the clubhouse. There's no doubt about it. If it's a purge, then you destroy the psyche of the clubhouse.
All right, BA, here's your fun question of the interview, which we like to do each and every week. I'll give you a fun question. Here's your fun question. In the NFL, you now can have a fair catch anywhere behind the 25-yard line, and you'll get the ball at the 25-yard line. What did you think of that rule change this week?
It's awful. I'm not a fan of it. It's just continuing to amateurize the NFL. You know, if you've got a guy that can you know, kick off and drop that thing consistently around the, you know, the 5 yard line and force a guy to have to make a return, that's an exciting part of the game, and that's a pretty good skill on the kicker's part to be able to do that if you want to force that return. To just kick the ball then, and anybody can wave the arm, and it's everything's treated like a touchback. I don't like it. I mean, that's it. That's just my opinion. My opinion doesn't matter. I did think it was interesting, though, that it was on a one-year contingency basis. So I think the NFL wants to see what it looks like, and then they may come back and say, yeah, this is awful. We're going to do away with it. So I thought that was an interesting part, the little loophole to get out of it. But, yeah, I don't like it, just, you know, off the cuff.
Balancing player safety with actually keeping the game that we've seen for years, Brian, that I would say that's got to be a major challenge, especially in a game that's as physical as the NFL. But as Andy Reid said, where does this stop? And that's the concern.
That's it. Player safety. I mean, if you're really, truly concerned about player safety, make it tag football.
Yep.
Or flag football.
Yep.
Because if not, you're going to have big, gigantic human beings that move way too fast than they should, smashing into each other for 3 hours every weekend. That's just about – so then make it touch, and there you go. Then we're all good. And I think Andy Reid, as much time as he has been in this game, as much as he has seen in this game, and he can see where the winds are blowing, yeah, when is it going to stop? When's it going to stop? Because now, you know, you've seen some of these roughing the passer calls that are a joke.
Yeah, they seem silly.
It continues to water it down. And, you know, you understand some of these things have to be put into place. But again, I think he's right on the money. How far are you going to take it?
All right, big plans for the weekend. What are you throwing on the grill?
Nothing. See, that's the thing. Memorial Day weekend, and that's what I want to do, right? And we've got the 11:35 Peacock game on Sunday, right? Which
right.
sets up for a wonderful – no. It's race from Tropicana Field to the airport and jump on a plane to fly to Chicago to play a day game the next day on Memorial Day.
Oh, they don't care about you, Brian. The league doesn't care about you.
No. And then we do have the day game in Chicago on Memorial Day, so you have that evening. But I don't know. I don't travel a grill, so – it's not the same.
Although there are plenty of places to go get a good steak in Chicago, so you'll be good to go.
There are.
B.A., thank you. Have a good holiday weekend. And again, want to remind everybody, here in Northeast Ohio, you'll be able to catch Brian on Peacock this Sunday when the Dodgers take on the Rays. That's an 11 a.m. game. Thanks, B.A.
Beautiful. All right, boys, take care. Have an awesome weekend.
We will talk to you soon. Brian Anderson, super friend of the show, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Want to talk about the NBA next, and can it be done? Down 0-3 to winning a series? We'll lay it out for you next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092, 474-0092. We've got Tom Withers coming up at 1 o'clock from the Associated Press. It's not news until Tom Withers says so. So we'll find out what all the news is with all of our teams in town, including the Guardians, the Cavaliers, and, of course, the Browns, who had OTA this week. Tom doesn't miss a beat when it comes to anything. We just had Brian Anderson on, and we also had Zach Meisel on a little bit earlier in the show. If you missed either of those interviews, you can always catch it on the Baskin and Phelps podcast that's available on the Odyssey.com app or where apps are available, or where podcasts are available, I should say. So make sure you check that out as well, and we appreciate you downloading 92.3 The Fan on the Odyssey app. All right, so Jeff, you said this, and I was like, I can't believe it was such a Phelpsian thing to say.
Phelpsian.
Yes. And so Miami's up 3-0 in the series against Boston.
Yeah.
And I look at you, and you're like, someone's got to come back for the first time ever down 3-0. And now here we sit 2 games later, and the Celtics looked really good last night. And they are knocking on the door of making your wish in reality. They just need two more wins to make it happen.
Look, do the math. Some team, some time, is going to be down 3-0 and come back to win in the NBA. I didn't think it would be Boston. I still don't think it will be Boston. But now they're only 2 games away from making that happen. I thought the Celtics would win this series before it started. Then the Heat jumped out hot, no pun intended. How could you not think Miami's going to close that thing out? You know, up 3-0. I still think they'll close it out. But boy, I would not want to be playing a game 7 in Boston if I'm the Miami Heat. That means game 6 is a big deal. And Jimmy Butler, I think Andy feels the same way. After the game Heat last night, I guess Jimmy Butler made some comments. You want to hear those?
Yeah, I want to hear them.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh. We are going to win.
I like his attitude.
Yeah, me too.
Because NBA history, 150 teams have built 3-0 leads in 7-game series.
150?
Of those 150 teams, 136 went on to win their matchups in 5 games or less. That means that more than 90% of teams facing 3-0 deficits before this Eastern Conference Finals got knocked out faster than the Celtics. 90%.
Does it say how many forced to Game 7?
I'm reading this from CBS Sports, too. Let's give them credit for the work that they've done. I do not see that, no. Game 6 losers. NBA history has seen 11 teams, sorry, NBA history has seen 11 teams turn a 3-0 lead into a 4-2 series loss. So there's one of yours. One of the things along the way.
I'll tell you what, that Miami's going to be absolutely nuts in that arena. There's going to be Botox flying out of faces everywhere there.
What about plastic?
I don't think it's going to fly out. I think it's installed to
it. You think that's good?
Yeah.
All right, I just want to make sure. I just don't know. Miami has to win. I you're right. I can't see this going back to Boston.
Well, I can, and if it does, I see the Celtics pulling it off. After Miami losing 3 straight, could you imagine them winning a game 7 in Boston? Yeah, maybe, but not likely.
Did you have an air of confidence about this particular Boston team when you started saying it's got to happen sometime?
No. No, I was just looking at numbers and the real world.
I think we'll get into this.
No NBA team was down 3-1 in the finals and came back in, and somebody did it.
Right. No, you're right. I look at where we are now, and there's like this hype train now because the Celtics have won the last 2 games.
It carries on.
And then the next thing you know, Miami wins, and you look at the words where it say Heat win series 4-2, and you're like, that wasn't all that it was cracked up to be.
I'm not a huge fan of this Celtics team, but I really do like the idea of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown together. And they had 4 guys score 20 or more last night.
You think Brown's out at the end of the season or no?
No, let's see how this goes.
You think it's all dependent on how they play now?
No, but I think it's a huge factor. If they come back and go to the NBA Finals, how do you bust up that combination? I don't think you can.
Ask Kyrie Irving.
Well, Kyrie busted that up.
I know. I just, all it takes is a player, I'm done. I don't want to be here anymore. And now everyone seems to go. Zach is in Cleveland. Hi, Zach.
Contracts can fight.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hi, Zach.
What's going on? How
are you? I'm not sure if you guys have hit on this yet or all. I'm just getting out of a job here and jumping the truck and heard the old 3-0 thing and being Boston. The only team to ever do it, and they highlighted it literally in game four. The only team to ever do it, obviously, is the Red Sox, and it was against the Yankees. And lo and behold, who was at game four sitting courtside? A-Rod and Derek Jeter. It was like an omen. I saw it, and I was just like, oh, like now it's going to happen. Like now now it is, and it's becoming fruitful. I mean, now everybody's like, oh, yeah, go Celtics. I don't think that it's going to happen, but who am I? You know, I mean, I'm just a guy guessing. Like you said, Jeff, you're just going off the numbers. And that's what I'm going off of too. I'm sure a lot of people are feeling the same way, but I do think the Heat are going to take this. I just thought that it was funny. I wanted to bring that up to you guys that you didn't see it. It was a funny moment. So thanks, guys.
It's a great point, Zach. Yeah, thank you. Good stuff.
One thing that doesn't help Miami at all, Tyler Hero is already out, and then Gabe Vincent was out last night. And, you know, though he's not regular guy who you are starting all the time, he's played very well. And at some point, you're going to need your guys. So we'll see. Kevin Love played last night.
What was his line, Jeff? I'm sure you have
it okay.
Memorized.
You know, Kevin played early, and they yanked him. And so he didn't play a whole lot. He ended up playing, well, let's get specific. Kevin went 14 minutes, 6.6 rebounds, so he was productive when he was out there, but they didn't play him a whole lot. They've not played Kevin a whole lot against the Celtics, and see, that's the thing. He might not be a great matchup against certain teams at this point in his career, but he can still be helpful at certain times. He's not played a ton of minutes in this series. Most he's played in any of these games, Andy, is 16 minutes, and so that's okay, but against the Knicks, it was a better matchup for him, and he played a lot of minutes in that series. Averaged just about 20 minutes a game against New York.
I just feel like
12 against Boston.
And I know you won't talk about him, but
I'm done.
I feel like this series now is about defense that we had talked about the Celtics before, and then when you see the Jimmy Butler only is like, what, he had 14 last night? That's where you start saying to yourself, okay, well. What was the adjustment Boston needed to make to even make this into a series?
Jimmy had only 10 shots.
So they're limiting him then on his shots, and he's just not putting them in. He's not getting as many points, I'm sorry.
Well, and here's the thing. You don't have Tyler Hero. You've dodged that for the most part. Vincent's been good for you. You didn't have him last night. And it sure allows the defense to focus even more on Jimmy Butler, doesn't it?
It does. But isn't that the way that's the way you look at Miami. If we can stop Butler, then we got a chance. But they look so good in the first three games of the series, I thought, man, there's just no way. The other thing that comes into play here, too, is Denver is just sitting and waiting. Remember how that happened to the Cavs?
Which might not be good, by the way.
The way they were playing, they were just so fluid against the Lakers.
I know.
They were ready for that series.
Rest is a good thing, unless you get too much of it. You know, you always run that risk.
Is that true, though? Can you ever get too much rest?
Yes, because you come out and you're a little out of sync. Just a little.
I felt like when the Cavaliers were making their runs to the finals every year, we were talking about, oh, man, they got a week off now before they play. How many times did we say that? Oh, there's a week off before they play because the way the schedule fell and the way the Cavaliers were able to take care of a team quickly.
Certain teams, I think, Andy, could use rest more than others. You know, I don't know if Denver is a team that needs that much rest. Young enough guys, they've been playing really well. I'm not going to say it's going to hurt them because that's – if they come out and they lose by 25, you'll hear, well, they had too much time off.
Is there one team better as a better matchup against Denver? I don't think it really matters.
I think the team that would give Denver the most fits is Boston. Look, you've got Tatum and Brown. They're really good. But I also think Denver, we've talked about Denver's length. You know, not to go Rory McIlroy and Michael Block on us here. That was a rim shot worthy comment, I thought. Nonetheless, we've talked about Denver, 6'4", Jamal Murray, shortest starter. So you have the people, size-wise, to go up against them. You're going to put Aaron Gordon on one of those guys. Will Michael Porter be the other guy? Will it be Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? But, you know, like last night, the Celtics had four guys score 20 points. White is an underrated guy who was good in San Antonio for a number of years, and he's been a great addition for them. And Marcus Smart's just tough as nails. I'm not crazy about him, but, man, he's tough. And you need those kind of players.
What do you think, and not to be smarter like we do at the end of the show, but what are we learning now about having success in the NBA playoffs that the Cavaliers can take? Have we learned anything? I don't know. I watch the selfless ball that Denver plays, and, you know, I mean, we don't have the same makeup as Denver. We're a little different, but I love the way they play. I love the way they move the ball, and like,
yeah, I do too.
And to watch that and say
Miami does this a similar thing.
Yeah, I don't, maybe because Jokic, it just looks a little different because of Denver, because of his abilities and his size and his dominance, and like when I see him running the floor, you're like, wow.
Let me go really? Boston here. Can I go Boston on this?
Sure.
With Tatum and Brown, you have two guys there who are your two leading scorers, right? And then you have other guards with them. Well, I call Tatum a guard because even at 6'8", he handles the ball all the time. And he's not a guard, he's a forward, but he handles the ball all the time. And Brown is 6'6". Those are your two main guys, 6'6", and 6'8". Cavs' two main guys are 6'1". I might be too hung up on that.
Well, I talked about it since the beginning of the season.
I just don't think it's a great recipe for playoff success. And that more than anything, Andy, in a league where teams or things change like crazy, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if the Cavs broke that up this year. Now, it might be a little bit of a stretch because you're coming off a 51-win season, and I think Donovan Mitchell's outstanding. I think Darius Garland is outstanding with more to come. But, man, if some team really thought they needed a point guard, let's just say the Celtics decide at some point here that, you know, we need something more than Jaylen and Jason together. That combo has run its course. And we like Smart, but, boy, if we had, you know, a different type of point guard, and they called and wanted Darius Garland and offered dangled Jaylen Brown or something like that. If you're Kobe Altman, how do you not think, well, that could be really good?
I got to think about this.
Well, you do have to think
about
that. I don't
know how you can't.
That's no disrespect to any of our guys. That's just the NBA. I mean, superstars, good players get traded all the time. Teams are always shuffling players. And the players are going from team to team on their own, you know, in free agency. So I just wouldn't think that this team is locked into anybody. The only guy, honestly, Andy, if you want to be completely, I think, sensible about it, who's untouchable is Evan Mobley. He's the guy who could be the biggest difference maker on the team, I think. And I've thought that all season. And
I think we've thought that since they drafted him.
Yes. You know, can he become a 6'11", 7-foot guy who goes out and scores 25 points a game and is the main focus of the opposing defense? If that happens, look out, man. And this is maybe too bold to say. If that happens, it doesn't really matter if you have Donovan Mitchell and both Darius Garland, both of them. I don't think that matters. Give me one of them, and then give me a veteran point guard who can get the ball to Mitchell and Mobley, or give me a great two guard who can play off of Darius Garland, who's 6'6". You know, I mean, just keep an open mind on this offseason, folks. That's the only thing I say about the Cavs.
All right, let's do this when we come back, Jeff, because I've wanted to talk about this for a while, especially with such a big weekend. And we all know Memorial Day is known for, you know, one huge sporting event, a sporting event that we used to see here in Cleveland, and we don't. And I'm wondering if it could ever come back. I want to talk to you about that. We'll go around in circles next. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Hey, Burley Mo.
What's up?
About 2 days growth for you.
Yeah.
You've been all over my you-know-what to shave the pathetic attempt I had at facial hair.
Yeah.
I shaved it and you didn't say a word.
Oh, you shaved.
Exactly. By the way, I got
home. How long would that take you, like 45 seconds?
I got home from work yesterday.
Yeah.
My wife asked me if I got the mail and I said no. She said, I'll go get it. Well, she went out to get the mail. I shaved.
Yeah.
She still hasn't noticed.
See, so, but are you the kind of, are you,
you
the,
and my wife, same people.
True or false, you must let your significant other know that their haircut looks blank within 20 minutes of seeing it for the first time.
My wife's not let me know that a haircut looks good in about 25 years, Andy.
Oh, that's true, too. I can understand that.
Thanks a lot. Bring anything else you want to bring up?
Well, it's not so much you.
I got to lose about 20 pounds. Anything else? You want to keep going?
The 20 is a little light. You can keep going.
Yeah, I'd like to address your attitude.
Wow.
You set yourself up for that.
Did you hear what Andy just said? He said 20 is a little light.
20 is a little light for me, man. If I could drop 40 or 50, I'd be so happy.
You always tell me you can't grow facial hair. It looks like you
I can't.
When's the last time you shaved? Like a day ago? It's like you've got this.
2 days ago?
I mean, you could grow a full beard.
Like I can't. Tomorrow.
Yes, you. Look
there
at your face.
There is no way. Manigan, can I grow
Manigan,
a beard?
Look at his face.
If you look at the face and where the seedlings are, yes, you could grow a full beard.
What do you mean seedlings?
What
do
you
call dude? I'm not growing a beard. The greatest thing about not being on TV every day is not shaving every day. Like, I love the fact that I could roll in here with shorts on and a golf shirt,
we
can talk about sports for 4 hours
for
and not
too.
Have to worry about it. But the next thing you know, they'll have cameras in here and we'll be on TV every day.
Would we get more money?
You need to go talk to the boss about that. Sunday. You know what is on Sunday?
Yeah.
What is it?
Sunday.
The Indianapolis 500, my man.
Oh, I remember that. It was a great race back in the day.
Ray Hall's in.
I want to see A.J. Foyt and Mario Andretti get after it. Where's Tom Sneva when I need him?
How about Graham Ray Hall? Not Bobby. Graham.
Graham didn't qualify. He's somebody's fill-in.
I don't know. I see him in the 11th row. 24 car.
Yeah, what are they running? Three wide? Are they running two
Yeah, they're
wide?
Running three wide.
All right, so then, in other words, he's in the back of the pack.
He is the very last row. He's in the 11th row.
Yeah.
33rd. But that's okay.
I hope he does well.
I do, too.
It's a long race. You've got time to catch up.
I see Graham Rahal, and I also see Colton Herta, the Ohio State driver.
Brian's son.
Elio Castroneves. Some of these names that, you know, come back. I like all the older. Will Power. He's up. Tony Kanaan, another guy that drove out
Will
of Columbus.
Will Power still makes me
Tasman
chuckle.
Tasman Motorsports, his upbringing.
Every time makes me chuckle.
Which one?
Will Power.
Will Power's a great name, isn't it? So here we go. It's Indianapolis 500. I read this morning.
Open wheel used to be so good.
They're expecting like gigantic ratings for this, like the most in like 5 or 6 years. And
why?
You know,
I wonder.
I have an answer for you. I'll tell you in a second. But it made me think, you know, about the Cleveland Grand Prix or whatever it was, the World Series of Racing or.
It was initially the Cleveland 500.
Right. The Budweiser 500.
And it became
too.
The Cleveland Grand Prix. I covered the first Cleveland 500.
Jeff, was there a feeling, and I'm asking you this more because I just remember going as a fan, and I don't remember the full buzz, and I think that little time gap between the two of us will give you a better understanding because it was more in the wheelhouse.
Well, I was trying to scrape out a living, and you were like,
in college.
Dudes, let's go down to Rays.
Let's go spin that wheel. We're going to Rays, man.
Meanwhile, I'm thinking, how am I going to pay the rent?
Like, I got to get a piece of pizza from the loft or the taco guy. Anyway, so, you know, you go back at 26 years they went with a race here in Cleveland. Did you feel like this was a racing city, or did it just feel like it was the circus came to town?
The circus came to town, but it stayed a while.
25 plus years.
It was great fun, and the fact that they ran at Burke was cool. You know, it was a very different kind of venue for CART at the time, right?
Right.
It was
Championship
CART
Auto Racing. And then they controversially went to the other league.
The
current league.
Right? IRL. It was cool. The backdrop of it with the lake, you know, on the other side of the track and all. It was not a good racing surface.
No, you would hear them complain every time.
So
every time they would complain about the final turn on the western part of the track,
right,
where it lipped down for something that wasn't airport. It wasn't a runway, and it kind of bubbled for a second. And those guys would always complain about
it. Bouncing the first pin, the first turn was, you know, this big hairpin turn, and it was tough.
But were we ever a racing town?
No,
that's my question.
No. But we loved having the event.
I mean, in 07, we had 151,000 people go through the turnstile to go see the event.
I don't doubt that. I know.
Could it come back? Could we feel like, I got a feeling that at some point we are going to see another race here in Cleveland, whether it's NASCAR or open wheel.
You're not going to put NASCAR on the airport. Could you imagine NASCARs trying to navigate that thing? They'd end up in the lake. Don't you think? I'm not being funny. I
think that there's a possibility that we could end up seeing NASCAR there or something around. I don't know. Where else would you drive? Could you do a Grand Prix of Cleveland?
Start a track.
Well, could you do a Grand Prix of Cleveland? And I don't necessarily know that it would be NASCAR. Could it be open wheel? Yeah. I mean, I've seen it in other cities. You clearly, I mean, in front of the stadium would work well, right? You could put dead man, maybe, I don't know, you shut down a freeway.
Superior's pretty wide.
Yeah. You can't go down Euclid
East
anymore.
East 9th's not very wide. You don't want to rip out the boulevards on Euclid.
You could do, you can't do Euclid. You couldn't
it
do
wouldn't
that.
Work.
Would you go downtown to watch that? I would.
I don't know.
I think it'd be pretty fun to see a Grand Prix of Cleveland.
Nothing like watching auto racing in person. Hey, I hear them. I hear them. Here they come. There they go. Okay. So,
but could you imagine
what we're talking about?
We're talking about Cleveland being a racing town.
No, I didn't mean you. Oh. I meant the person I'm sitting at the race with. Hey, there they went. Okay. So, yeah, I really, Baskin's been talking about Ted Lasso. I guess I got to go watch. Oh, I hear him again. Here they come. Oh, there they go. It looked like somebody else was in the lead. Was somebody else in the lead? Okay.
Wouldn't it be cool if they went like Lakeside, then went back down the bridge where everybody walks to go to the stadium?
That'd be cool.
Then you whip around the stadium, come back, hit the freeway, come back up, come back up another bridge.
Okay.
Boom, come right back down public. No?
Fine.
I don't know. I'm just asking you, Jeff. I mean, I know that 151,000 came down for that last race.
Wait a minute. I thought it was 107,000. You just made it 151.
I said 151,000. I said that the first time, too.
You did?
I'm looking at the number from the 07 race when Paul Tracy won.
I thought the population total was going up at the track.
Are you done?
We've had so many
quality conversations about open wheel.
I loved open wheel. I was in a fantasy open wheel league.
See, Jeff Phelps has just given you his resume for why you should listen to him talk about racing.
Drafted drivers and kept points and everything else. I loved it. But that was CART.
Juan Pablo Montoya? Did you take him?
I had Nigel Mansell when he came over.
Oh, man.
He was a big dude in a little car. It was a lot of dude.
How about... would you have traded for Alex Zanardi in his prime? Yes, you would.
Absolutely.
Yes, you would.
Alex was top notch. I was always a big Al Unser Jr. fan.
I don't know. I look at it and I wonder if we could ever have another race. That's my other point.
Yeah,
I think we could.
I've always loved open wheel racing. I mean, going back to when I was a kid, I always paid attention to it. And Andy, when IRL started and competed with CART, I thought it ruined the sport.
I am not going to disagree with you at all.
And
because you went from drivers like Bobby Rahal and Rahal Letterman to, I was trying to remember, someone had put it to me this way that, you know, they wanted to make IRL more affordable for the average driver. And they did.
And Andy, was it not true? Correct me if I'm wrong, because you were in Columbus when this all happened.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, we had Tasman, so, we had Ray Hall.
You were much
all
closer
stuff.
To it than I was.
Mm-hmm.
Part of IRL coming about was to not only control expenses, but wasn't it also to kind of return it to American drivers and more of an American-based circuit? Because CART had become very expensive with a lot of foreign drivers, coming over from F1.
I can read to you, like... You had one American driver in Cleveland between after Al Unser won in 94. In 95, it was Jacques Villeneuve. Then it was Gilda Ferrin, Zanardi, Montoya.
Jacques Villeneuve, Frenchman.
Morneau, Dario Franchitti.
Canadian, wasn't he?
Patrick Carpentier, remember him?
Yeah.
Sebastian Bourdais.
Yeah.
Tracy won two. And then A.J. Allmendinger.
Paul was Canadian.
Who's still driving in 06.
Mm-hmm. But the IRL thought that you have, you know, American drivers. Right now, Indy 500 starting this weekend, front row, all foreign drivers. Second row, one American driver. You don't get more American drivers until you get to row four. So the race, the IRL circuit is just as foreign-based as CART was back in the day.
I don't know. It's just interesting. As you watch the Indy 500 this
weekend. I will
watch
it.
I will, too.
I might even DVR it.
It always just makes me long to have a race here in Cleveland. So let's come back. We'll talk to Tom Withers. He may even know something about that. The Cavaliers, the Guardians, and, of course, the Browns. Straight ahead, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.